In watching the nightly news, it is not unusual to see a crowd of mourners carrying a shroud-covered body through the streets of some mid-eastern city or town. Almost always, they show the faces of those who are mourning. We see their eyes filled with overflowing tears and hear the loud noises of moaning and wailing. The scene can seem almost chaotic, filled with highly charged emotions. It is nothing like the funeral and death traditions of the Western world, which are much more reserved in nature. Part of the reason for this difference may be in the fact that in almost all Mid-Eastern traditions, the body must be buried within the same day as the death. If death comes very late in the day, then it cannot be buried before midnight, then the very first thing the next morning. Therefore, the shock of death experienced by the family and friends is still very new and hasn't given time for any kind of emotional adjustment upon the time of burial. Probably in many cases, friends and even some family members do not know the death until they see the burial procession. That short time between death and burial is taken up with the ritual of washing the body and other traditional practices of burial preparation. The short time between death and burial may be due to religious beliefs which forbade embalming and or for the practical concerns over the resulting deterioration of the body in that climate. The quickness of burial time and lack of medical knowledge often resulted in unknowingly burying someone who was actually still alive. They may have fallen into some kind of catatonic coma, which, without obvious visible or physical signs of life. You know, even today there have been stories of morticians discovering signs of life within a body to be embalmed. We hear that every once in a while. Although the fear of this happening today, it's very rare. It certainly was real, though, just even a century ago. Now I hope I haven't given anybody here fuel for future nightmares. But in reality, the fear of unknowingly burying someone alive has been true not only in the ancient societies, but throughout history. Now this takes us back to those scenes we often see on TV news of the funeral processions. What we've witnessed on TV is not far from the scene in our gospel lesson. Jesus had just left Capernaum, where he had healed the servant of a centurion. He was traveling to the ancient town of Nain with his disciples and a large crowd of other followers. Now, just as they were about to enter the gates of the town, they encountered a funeral procession. So just like we encounter such a procession, they pause to give the right of way to the mourners. Now, when we pause to give the right of way to a funeral procession, it is out of general respect for the dead and those who mourn after him or her. Chances are we don't know the person or any of the mourners. They are shielded from our sight, hidden in cars and limousines. We can't see their faces or their tears. The experience is just another reality of life which draws little emotion from us. But this was not the case with the very visible emotional experience of the funeral procession which Jesus witnessed. As the story unfolds, it was truly a tragic and sad scene. That funeral was for the death of the only son of a widowed mother. You can imagine what this mother's feeling and emotions were. It was only hours before that her only son was pronounced dead. This procession was even more tragic since she was a widow who most likely relied upon her son for her emotional and physical support. All this was very evident as Jesus observed this tragic event. Now, without knowing the woman, he had compassion for her. Luke writes, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Now, it was out of compassion for the dead son, not for her. Not out of the compassion for the dead son, but for her. He saw her need and acted out of compassion in order to restore her well-being. Out of this compassion, he approached the bier and touched it. Now everybody must have wondered what Jesus was doing. After all, the man was dead. "Young man, I say to you, rise." Is he only trying to comfort the woman by saying that her son's soul would rise from the ashes of the body? But that was not the case. To the astonishment and fear of the crowd, the corpse responded by sitting up and started to talk. This man was not dead, but alive. Then Jesus gave him to his mother. Now you can imagine the initial response of the people. Luke relates, fear seized all of them. Well, I guess so. Here's a bear and man rises out of the dead. Imagine seeing a corpse in a casket rise up and begin to speak. I am reminded of a prank video on the internet some weeks ago. I don't know if someone has seen this. They had a hearse stopped at a red light at a busy city street intersection with traffic behind the hearse and people walking along the sidewalk. Then the hearse began to move forward. The back door swung open. And the casket slid off onto the road. A course, this was frightening enough for those who became frozen in time. But then, the casket lid opened and the man sat up. The people in the car immediately behind it were trapped in fear. And the pedestrians responded in all kinds of expressions of fear. And everybody began to run. And this prank was repeated several times, and we each gained the same hilarious reactions. This is the same kind of fear that must have been experienced 2,000 years ago at the gate of the town of Nain. By the way, I wish I had invented that prank. That was too good. But there was a big difference between the internet video and the event long ago. The ancient event was for real. The man had been pronounced dead and made ready for burial. But at Jesus' command, life was restored and he was able to become the valued son again. When the crowd saw that he was no zombie, and that he got up and walked to his mother, and his mother accepted him, fear turned into overwhelming joy. The funeral procession turned into a celebration of life. Therefore, they began to lift their voices in praising God. A great prophet has risen among us. God has looked favorably on his people. Their thought must have turned back to an event many centuries before in that very same town. The prophet Elijah had restored the life of a child at that time. Now they thought another great prophet had been given to them, Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, word of this event spread quickly within the region. Jesus, a new prophet, had done this great miracle. Now to look back upon this gospel event, we may begin to reason that this man was not dead at all, but the victim of an age which did not have the means to determine physical abnormalities and illnesses such as catatonic coma. But even with that said, Jesus restored full life to this man, whatever the case may be. He restored full life. He was able to return to his mother and resume the responsibilities of being a son. With all that said, the important lesson to be found in this story was not in the miracle, but something far greater than that. The lesson in this story. But Jesus, you know, could very well have stepped aside and allowed the funeral procession to proceed down the road to the burial site. He could have done that. But he didn't. He didn't just because he became an observer, but was moved to do something about the situation which he saw. His actions were not about the raising of a dead man, but the result of compassion and love. He had compassion for the suffering, grieving mother. This same compassion was evident in all of his miracles. His miracles were not to gain fame and notoriety, but were a sign of God's great compassion and love for his children in need. Look at the Gospels and you'll see that. Out of compassion. It is this kind of compassion that we are to incorporate into our every moment of existence. That's what we are called to do. It is this compassion which will bring life and hope not only to our lives, but to the lives of all who we may encounter. Acts of compassion will always be the healing power to those who are suffering and in need of well-being. Acts of compassion will always be the healing power to those who are suffering and in need of well-being. You know, this is who we are. When we, in following the gospel of the good news, when we follow the gospel of the good news, that compassion is within us and lives through us. This is who we are as Christians. And this is what we celebrate. Not only the compassion of God's love for us, but the compassion that we share with others to see the joy of their lives being renewed and uplifted. That's the story. That's the story of this miracle. The miracle of compassion. Amen.